Hello there, and I know what everyone's talking about. It's Thanksgiving. I get it. But we have this special Thanksgiving episode planned for you. No calls today. We've got a dear friend of Take Two's with us, and he's going to explain to us all about scrupulosity. That's right. It's a very big word, and it also impacts a lot of people. And we really want to get to the heart of it and figure out how to work through scrupulosity, how to maybe stay clear of it, because it could really be harmful to the spiritual life. And so I'm going to bring our guest on air with us. But just remember, no calls today. I know Take Two is all about calls, and we love to hear your stories about scrupulosity, but I'm going to go ahead and share on your behalf, okay? Because I happen to know a lot about it. I have a lot of family members that have struggled with scrupulosity, and we're going to get into what it is, what we should avoid, what we should look for, how we can help others that are struggling with it. And on this beautiful Thanksgiving, we want you to sit back and listen for this pre-recorded broadcast being put together by our wonderful producer, Michael, is especially just a really big treat for all of us to maybe have the hard discussions during Thanksgiving dinner about if you know somebody who is struggling. Okay, so I'm going to jump right in. I want to introduce our wonderful friend of Take Two's, and he's an incredible priest from the SALT community. SALT stands for Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, and it's Father Sam Medley. Hello, Father. Welcome on this Thanksgiving episode of Take Two.
Hi, Debbie. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. Normally, we have lots of phone calls, but today we're going to let everybody take time and just listen with their family all about this very important topic of scrupulosity. And Father, we always like to, when we have priests on as guests, we always like to begin in prayer. Would you lead us in prayer, please?
Of course. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for the goodness of the heart of Jesus Christ. For all those who suffer from a sensitive conscience of scruples, we entrust them to you, Father. We ask your grace and your light, your discernment, and especially for healing, that we may offer all of our sufferings and scruples to you, who see all things and love us infinitely and unconditionally. As we pray together that prayer of entrustment of our hearts to God, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Well, on this pre-recorded Thanksgiving broadcast of Take Two, it's brand new content. We wanted to bring back Father Sam Medley. You asked to have him back, and we love having him on Take Two. He really sparks a lot of conversations and calls and things of that nature that keep the conversation going. And scrupulosity is something that we as Catholic Christians can sometimes fall easily into, Father. And I want to just start at the very beginning. Now, Father, just a full disclosure, I was a spiritual director for many years, and I was trained in scrupulosity. And so because a lot of priests don't really know how to handle it. And so they would send the wonderful parishioners over to me because I did have some training in it. And plus, like I said, I had family members who struggled with scrupulosity, and so I was able to help them in ways, kind of creative, unique ways, Father, I might add. And I want to run those by you because it's very interesting what we were told as spiritual directors to do with people who are struggling with scrupulosity. So let's start at the beginning, Father Sam. Tell us your definition. What is the accepted definition of somebody that struggles with this? Is it a sin? Could it lead to sin? How, you know, kind of give like the basic foundational elements of it so people can understand it better.
Sure. Scrupulosity is generally seeing sin where there isn't any, or as Saint Ignatius of Loyola calls it, erroneous conscience. And a lot of people have very sensitive conscience, and it's very good. And there's even an inward kind of stage of formation for many saints who struggled with this, like St. Therese and St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Alphonsus of Liguori. But there has to be some kind of way out of it. It is not where you want to be. And if you are struggling with it, if you know somebody who struggles with it, it can be incredibly painful because usually it happens to somebody with a very sensitive conscience. And it really has a heyday with people who struggle with kind of like a tendency of OCD, of obsessive compulsive disorder, mm-hmm. because our hearts and our wills were made for latria. They were made to adore God, to be completely consumed by him. Now, when we look at ourselves or another creature, that gift of latria, being just totally absorbed in worshiping God, can become obsessive. Because the will was made for an infinite object. If you point the will in a way that is meant to be pointed toward God, toward a creature, what happens is something like overthinking or overanalyzing your own decisions, or was that prayer valid, or did I sin interiorly when I just thought about somebody in a bad way? You know, mm-hmm. this is a very common thing for someone, you know, most people to go through at some point in their formation. Because I said there's a healthy kind of inwardness, and if you look at developmental psychology with teenagers, there's definitely a moment where they should be looking at their inside and their heart and saying, who am I, what is my conscience, you know, what, you know, how do I know what is good and evil? It's a very healthy thing. But unless they have, and this is the key, someone like a coach to help form mm-hmm. their conscience, mm-hmm. One of the biggest problems is there is apostasy in some seminaries, and many priests do not have solid formation of moral theology. And what happens if you go to confession and some dude is like, oh, that's not a sin, and you know it is, you're like, I can't trust this guy. And so I came out, and I was in the seminary when they came out with what's called Veritatis Splendor. It was an encyclical by Pope St. John Paul, and he was remedying this, mm-hmm. like that confessor who says, oh, that's not a sin, or not talking about the Ten Commandments and what is a mortal sin and what is not, or not even right. believing that there is such a thing.
Right, right. Okay, let's hold it there, Father. We're with Father Sam Medley on this wonderful Thanksgiving broadcast of Take Two. No phone calls today. I'll be asking your questions about scrupulosity. We've heard it all. And so we want Father Sam to clear up all those misunderstandings and help all of us who may actually struggle with it. So stay with us, and we'll be right back. We have a wonderful guest on Take Two today for this Thanksgiving broadcast. And by the way, I wanted to, I know Father Sam agrees with me on this and shares this sentiment for everyone. It's happy Thanksgiving to all of the Take Two family members. You guys are incredible. You're listening to Take Two when you're probably fixing the dinner and getting ready for everybody visiting with friends and family members. And, you know, Father Sam and I really just want the best for you and your celebrations during this wonderful Thanksgiving, where we can be just filled with gratitude in our hearts for our life, for those around us, for the world, everything, all of God's many blessings and graces. So happy Thanksgiving to the Take Two family. Okay, back to the discussion about scrupulosity. Father Sam, continue, pick up where you left off, maybe rewind a little bit. I just want to remind our mm-hmm. listeners, if they just tuned in, we've got Father Sam Medley with us. He's back on Take Two, and he's amazing, from the SALT community, Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, a wonderful order of priests and lay leaders that are just really helping us understand the faith better. And Father Sam does it so well. He's also one of the hosts of The Quest, which is heard on the Guadalupe Radio Network. And that's at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern. And it's just wonderful to hear Father Sam as he explains the faith to us. And scrupulosity has been coming up a lot recently, Father. So maybe pick up, rewind a little bit and finish your thought. And then I want to ask you another question.
Sure. And what we were talking about is, how does a person get scrupulosity? And what is really common is somebody will have a confessor that is either way too difficult or way too strict, or even sometimes hurtful or harsh, or a confessor that is way too lax. And what happens is a person starts to not trust their own capacity to measure what is good and evil. And the key here is not knowing the difference between what is called a mortal sin and a venial sin. And that can happen from that. It can also happen. There's a couple other causes as well we can look at.
Now, Father Sam, it's very interesting you said that, because if you look at different, you know, these examination of conscience forms that are out there online from various organizations, I mean, some are pretty rigid. I mean, to be honest with you, Father, it's like everything is a sin. So if you, I'm not joking. I mean, they'll even say like, if you looked at your neighbor and just didn't say a nice word, I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, it's a little bit out there where you can't even breathe and you're committing a sin. And so for somebody who has a bit of an OCD kind of brain, and then you add this to the, you know, to that, you know, which is going around in the brain, I could see where somebody can fall into scrupulosity very easily. And I think that's what actually happened to some of my family members when they couldn't figure out if this was a sin or that was a sin, or did it rise to the level of mortal sin. And you know, Father, I also heard, which I heard this recently, and I understand it now. I mean, after being a spiritual director and focusing on scrupulosity for years, I get it. But there's a lot of, I have to say, a lot of priests and some deacons that will make the comment that, oh, scrupulosity is a sin. Well, you know, that's really hurtful to somebody that's struggling with scrupulosity. And I can understand why they're saying it, because, you know, some people who suffer with it, they don't even want to accept God's mercy. They don't accept anything. They don't trust, you know, and it's really hard on them mentally. And so I can see where it can lead into kind of being very disrespectful to God and God's forgiveness and God's mercy. But don't you think it takes more understanding and formation in this area to help people through this?
Absolutely. And, you know, it comes down to love and mentoring. And there's an epistle of St. Paul, of 1 Timothy. It's a whole epistle on mentoring, that St. Paul is mentoring him. And in this epistle, chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "The goal of instruction is love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a sincere faith." Now, if you have someone to help you form your conscience, it only takes a couple seconds for that person to say, "That's not a sin, you're focusing on the wrong thing." The same way a coach would help you if you were trying to learn proper form of some athletic ability, like how to jog correctly so that you know, don't injure yourself, or even, you know, like how to set a volleyball or slam dunk a basketball or whatever you're doing. A coach is there, somebody who knows the way that you don't, that you trust, that you can learn to have a formation of conscience. Now, there's a lot of people that don't have any formation of conscience, or the conscience is grade level 10 or age 10. It's not of a mature nature. And there are very few priests, honestly, who are willing to talk about sin and punishment and guilt and shame and redemption in a healthy way. Most of the time, there's a lot of niceties that are happening, but parishes and priests and dioceses need to have a very clear formation of Christian conscience. And a lot of these things are remedied when someone you trust who had also a sensitive conscience, especially if they've gone through what you're going through, that they can say, "This is a mortal sin, this is not." In other words, don't do that, don't worry about that. But then there's another method that's really helpful, is to have somebody you trust and ask them, is this a mortal sin or is it venial? And then understanding the difference between the two. We recall it goes in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, we get the definition, the Catholic definition of mortal sin. He uses that word mortal. "If you see a brother or sister commit sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. I refer to those who sin does not lead to death." There is a sin that leads to death. And the Latin is quite clear. Evicat peccante non ad mortem. That's where we get the word mortal, because it kills the soul. And anything that is venial or not mortal can be forgiven from holy water or the confiteor at Mass or an act of charity. And if somebody is going to confession for venial sins, a good confessor will say, "Let's take time off on venial sins for a little while." And you have to trust that that isn't a mortal sin, and don't mention it, because The reason you confess more venial sins in confession is not for forgiveness, but for transformation. It is a good thing to mention venial sins in confession, but for the reason of not committing them anymore, of wanting the grace to repent, not to be forgiven, because you're forgiven through, like I said, an act of charity or making the sign of the cross devoutly with holy water, because the charity of God burns away those lesser kind of twigs. But if there's any logs of mortal sins, those are something that you should rightfully go to a confessor and confess and be freed of, and to trust that God forgives you, because this is a huge, huge thing of shame, where God forgives you. Other people forgive you, even. You might have sinned against your mother or your husband or whatever, and they say, oh, I really don't want to, it's fine, don't worry about it. And then just imagine, you keep bringing it up to them, and they're like, hey, I just want to have dinner, you know, like, I want to love you. And all you want to talk about are your failings and how ugly you feel. And, you know, your insecurity is actually making it really hard for me to love you, because you don't want to be loved. You don't feel lovable. Right. And there's all this shame there, and it can deflect so much happiness, not just from God, but from each other.
So, Father Sam, how do you think God sees a person that struggles with scrupulosity? We've heard a lot of saints have struggled with it, from time to time.
Well, I'd like to back up, actually, and talk about self-hatred, because that's the root, one of the root causes. Mm-hmm. How does God see somebody who struggles with self-hatred and not forgiving themselves? I want to talk about, for a moment, my father. He died. He flatlined. He met Jesus, and he was in a garden, and Jesus showed him the whole universe and all creation in a gesture of just showing him the heavens and the earth, the up and down. He didn't say anything. And then he looked at him and only mentioned one sin of his whole life that really grieved Jesus. Why do you hate my creation so much? And he was talking about himself. That was the only thing that he had to say about his whole life. And I'm assuming, granted, this is anecdotal. This is a private revelation my father had when he died, and he flatlined and came back to life. And this is what he accounted, this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But still, imagine someone like God gives you everything you hope for, eternal life, salvation, grace. It's like somebody gave you a Maserati and a mansion. You're saying, I don't think you love me. Wouldn't that be insulting? I mean, it grieves God that you don't let him love you. Mm-hmm. Now, not to say, I don't want to excite your shame when I say that. It's like, oh, I knew it. I knew God didn't love me. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to say that you have to forgive you. If Jesus died for your sins, how can you say that it's not enough? That his blood covers all the sins of all mankind, except this one or that one. Or your sins. You're making your sins into an idol. And this is the self-obsession that is at the heart of scrupulosity. So basically, God sees a scrupulous person as someone he's trying to tap them on the shoulder and say, come out here. Come outside of yourself. I'm out here. You have to transcend yourself and stop analyzing whether or not I love you. Look at the cross. Look what I did for you. Mm-hmm. Can you not see how beautiful and glorious and wondrous you are as my creation? So it's like, it's basically like a wife who won't let her husband love her, saying, no, I'm too ugly, or I'm too fat, or whatever. And he's just like, I just want to love you. Right. Why can't you just let me in? You know, don't close yourself off to me.
So Father Sam, is that sort of like when they say it's a sin against the Holy Spirit, when somebody is not accepting God's mercy, God's love, God's, you know, just beautiful way in our life, when we're resisting it, we're rejecting it and saying, no, I'm not worthy. Are you saying that that's where maybe some of the priests are saying to people who are scrupulous, oh, that's sinful, don't go in that direction? Is that what they're really trying to say, is don't go to that level where you have so much self-hatred and shame that you're not accepting God's love and mercy?
That's right. I wouldn't say, though, it's a horrible thing to say, a scrupulous person. Scrupulosity is a sin.
I know, and I've heard it said so many times, and I understand it, but it's so hurtful.
So St. Ignatius of Loyola, wonderful ninth chapter of his spiritual rules. It's all about scrupulosity. Actually, he has six notes on, he calls it some notes concerning scruples. And I think let me just give you this image that he gives, because he said in another place, he said that what the devil does to someone in good conscience is he pricks their conscience with some kind of disturbing thought or some kind of thing that tries to tempt them and move them to be disrupted and disturbed and distracted and say, oh, maybe I am not in union with God, to stop thinking about God and start thinking about themselves.
That's right. Well, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Scrupus is Latin for a sharp stone. And now it's actually a little pebble. In the old world, it was 1/4 of an ounce, 1/3 of a dram. And when they wanted to have a very, very delicate weighing of the scale, they would put a scrupus, which is a little stone on there. And that would be, and this is exactly what scrupulosity is. It's an erroneous conscience. This is what St. Ignatius says. It's an erroneous conscience. The enemy looks much if a soul is gross or delicate. And if it is delicate, he tries to make it more delicate in the extreme, to disturb and embarrass it more. For instance, if he sees that a soul does not consent to either mortal sin or venial or any appearance of deliberate sin, then the enemy, when he cannot make it fall into a thing that appears sin, aims at making it make out sin where there is not sin, as in word or very small thought. This is what erroneous conscience. So it's not sin, it's just a wrong conscience. Mm-hmm. So be careful of saying it's sin. That's not very helpful. It's especially when you're talking to somebody who's so very sensitive of conscience. So if the soul is gross, he tries to make it more gross. Gross of conscience means like very bad conscience. Mm-hmm. But delicate, meaning if you're very sensitive, the devil tries to make you more sensitive. And the image that he gave is he stepped on a piece of straw that was in the shape of a cross. And he spent like 3 days agonizing over the fact I stepped on the cross of Christ. And he realized that the enemy had distracted him from prayer and union with God and being swept up in the love and the consolation and the grace of God, and instead was thinking about straw. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, what are you doing? And he had this moment where he's like, I can't believe I got so distracted. So his next note, which is really wonderful, the fifth note, the soul which desires to benefit itself in the spiritual life ought always to proceed the contrary way to the enemy proceeds. That is to say, if the enemy wants to make my soul gross, let it aim at making itself delicate. Likewise, if the enemy tries to draw it out into extreme fineness or scrupulosity, let the soul try to establish itself in the mean in order to quiet itself in everything. In other words, just be quiet and have a glass of wine. Talk with your family. Relax. Right. No, really relax. You really, because the rigidity is not helping you. You need to just take a moment and look at the beauty around you. Get out of yourself. Stop overthinking. And you need to, and this is from St. Ignatius of Loyola, wonderful rules for the good of the church. Sure. So I highly recommend reading that. It's six notes on that, because the devil wants to take you away from God's loving presence, and he wants to destroy your relationships as well, because mm-hmm. it's very hard. I mean, it's mm-hmm. socially debilitating.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I'm thinking of so many fine people, and they've struggled for so many years. So let's talk more with Father Sam Medley. When we come back, you'll hear the music right now. We're going to take that break. When we come back, more of this Thanksgiving pre-recorded edition of Take Two. I'm asking the questions for the Take Two family to Father Sam. When we come back, stay with us. It's on scrupulosity. We're having a great discussion on scrupulosity today. And by the way, there's other resources too. Father Sam is sharing some from one of our great saints, but also Scrupulous Anonymous. You can see it or find it online, and they have a newsletter that really helps people that struggle with scrupulosity. The Redemptorists do a fine job there in trying to help those who struggle with this. Now, Father, so I've heard very, very insensitive, sometimes clergy make comments about people who struggle with scrupulosity, you know, calling it a mental illness, calling it all sorts of things, because you may have like an OCD, a bit of an OCD tendency. And honestly, Father, a lot of people have OCD tendencies. So I find that to be, you know, I think we need to be schooled better on this topic here. The other thing too is a lot of it's hard to find spiritual direction, so people are struggling. That's why they go to these online sites like Scrupulous Anonymous and to help. And I'm so grateful that there's even something there. But oftentimes priests and clergy, deacons will just kind of avoid people with scrupulosity because it's an ongoing struggle. And so we shared how sometimes people can be insensitive by throwing things out to people who really do deal with this. What about on the flip side of that, Father? I've also heard it said that, you know, because so many saints had struggled with scrupulosity, is it on the road to sainthood?
It can absolutely be. And, you know, some great saints, Saint Therese of Lisieux and Saint Alphonsus de Liguori, they were great, great saints. He's actually the patron saint of moral theology, you know, of the conscience. So I'm not surprised to hear that the Redemptorists, who were founded by Saint Alphonsus de Liguori, they do some work on it because that is their work of moral theology. The problem, again, my father was a deacon, and I was a priest in formation at the same time at the same seminary, and there was some really funny stuff happening in the class. It was like we were trying to learn moral theology, but he and I called it immoral theology because it wasn't very good formation. And formation is this: like the rich young man who went to Jesus and said, "How can I be saved?" And Jesus said, "Follow the commandments." Just those three words: follow the commandments. And you know, having a formation in the Ten Commandments. Now, when the Catholic Church says about formation of conscience in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it points to the Ten Commandments as a means of forming the conscience. And this is a matter of knowing what is grave matter, because the three conditions for mortal sin, and this is a very healthy way of weeding through or combing. An examination of conscience is supposed to be like a comb, like a beachcomber, to get all the junk off the beach, right? Or, you know, make your hair or your conscience look beautiful. It combs out all of the stuff, and it allows the healthy hair to be there. This is one of the things that there's so many healthy, good thoughts that are right, especially, this is most especially true with sins that are more shameful, like sexual sin. Mm-hmm. Like what Jesus said about, if a man looks at a woman so as to desire her in his heart, he has already committed adultery. So it's one of the biggest areas of scrupulosity that I accompany people with, where they struggle like, oh no, I sinned. And I was like, no, you didn't. What are you talking about? It's like, well, I had a feeling. It's like, that's not a sin. Having a spontaneous reaction to looking at a beautiful person and saying, oh, that's a beautiful person. It's like saying, looking at the waterfall or a mountain or a beautiful sunset and saying, oh, wow, God's an amazing artist. Versus defining every possible feeling of their masculinity or their femininity as evil. Whereas a mentor is able to affirm them and say, no, your masculinity, your femininity, your having sexual desire and attraction is something from the Creator, and sublimation of that, where you gift that to God, is going to have some measure of feeling, where you have to offer those feelings to God and sublimate them. And sublimation is the opposite of repression. It's the opposite of OCD. It has a liberating experience of saying, I'm throwing into the white hot furnace of the heart of Jesus, the Eucharistic heart of Jesus, all of my desires. But Jesus said to me, this is my body. Well, I say the same to you, Jesus. This is my body with all my feelings and all my desires and everything I am and have. And that is not dirty. That is pure and holy. Mm-hmm. And it can feel, there's a part of carnality in your body when you're offering your whole being to God. But it actually is the opposite effect of shame. It neutralizes it and brings things into the light.
Right. Wow. This is really interesting. I have like a ton of questions now that are just stacking up here. So let me go back to this, Father. You recommended for us to read something. I want you to share that again. And then I just want to share the website. It's scrupulousanonymous.org, O-R-G. Those are the Redemptorists that have done a really good job for many years helping people that struggle with scrupulosity. And that's what we're talking about today. This difficult path, spiritual path, where a person thinks that everything is a sin. Everything they do, everything they think is a sin, and it starts to overwhelm them and paralyze them in their spiritual life. And it's they do need help with it. I love how Father said a coach or a counselor or a spiritual director. You really need somebody to talk to, and a lot of saints did struggle with it. So, but it does. It's something that needs to be managed. I know I've heard a lot of people, counselors, say that OCD in general is something that you have to manage. You're not going to really just, you know, pray it away, but you really have to work at it every single day. And I do agree with that, coming from a family that has struggled with this. But Father, what was the other resource you wanted us to read?
It's chapter 9 of mm-hmm. St. Ignatius of Loyola's Rules for Spiritual Discernment of Spirits. It's a wonderful, absolutely wonderful guide. And he struggled with scrupulosity and is a wonderful guide through it.
Right, right. Because okay. No, you go ahead, Father. You finish
your thought. Yeah, it's just like the main thing there that's really fascinating is he talks through, this is what happened to me. I struggled with scrupulosity. Then I had a revelation from God that he was saying, God is basically tapping on his shoulder saying, I'm out here. I'm not in the nest of knots that you, in your conscience, that you didn't even commit a sin. You're calling mm-hmm. something erroneously a sin, and it's not. Mm-hmm. And you're taking away from time with me. And I think that's really, because it's about love and tenderness and God's generous mercy versus you thinking you have to earn it. And it's a totally different posture before right. God.
Right. And a more confident posture, which is good.
Absolutely.
Because you don't want to be walking like on eggshells all the time on your spiritual life. That's a hard way to exist here. Life is hard mm-hmm. enough. Absolutely. We're speaking with Father Sam Medley, and he is just incredible. A friend of Take Two's. You guys wanted me to have him back. And I just love when Father Sam can visit us, because he does such a wonderful job communicating the message and sharing with us what we need to know in our spiritual life, in our faith life. And we so appreciate his fine work that he does in ministry. If you want to hear more of Father Sam, you can always catch him on Mondays and Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Guadalupe Radio Network. The show is called The Quest, and you can always call in and speak to Father Sam, so that's wonderful. But we have him here on this special Thanksgiving broadcast of Take Two, so I'm asking the question. So, Father, here's something that's interesting. I worked with, like I said, I was a spiritual director for eight, almost going on 9 years, and in my diocese in Phoenix, and a lot of the priests in different parishes would send me the people that struggled with scrupulosity because I was trained in it. And I worked with people very closely, and boy, oh boy, when you say struggled, they struggled with this every single day. I mean, it was hard on them. You know, they were really nervous about even reading anything because they didn't want to put another thought into their head and have that go, you know, go around and around in their brain. And it was really, I felt so, you could tell the heaviness, and you can see it in just their demeanor, how they just were weighed down by this. And so when about a couple years into spiritual direction with a few of my clients it was really tough on them, we came up with I talked to a bunch of priests who specialized in scrupulosity, and we came up with an idea, and it worked. It actually worked, and it worked beautifully. These fine folks wanted to receive communion in a worthy manner, right? And so they struggled so hard, and they just didn't know how to get to Mass and feel good about receiving. They just felt so guilty. It felt, you know, all the things that you were talking about. They just didn't accept God's love and mercy. They didn't trust God enough. They just had all these things going on in their brain. And so we had them write out on a piece of paper And they would bring it into confession all the time, because what they were doing is they were confessing the same sins over and over and over again. Right. And so we had them go into confession, and they would say something like this. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I suffer from scrupulosity. I have a spiritual director, and I am told to just say, for these and all my sins, I am sorry. And we actually printed this out, and we gave it to the ones that really struggled. And I mean struggled. And it was accepted by every single priest that they ever went to confession to for the rest of their life.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And do you know that some of the people went on to live long lives? They've since passed, but they were in their 80s or 90s. And you know, Father, it just made me cry. It was so beautiful. I would go visit them sometimes in the assisted living places, and they would say, thank you so much, because you gave me the freedom not to worry about it anymore. And because I would go in there with this piece of paper, and the priest would automatically say, don't worry, your sins are forgiven. And it was so reassuring to them, Father, that I know it extended their life. I know it did. I just feel it in my heart that their life, they lived a longer life because they didn't have that heavy, heavy burden on them every day. It was mentally draining. And they were such good people, Father. They loved the Lord. They went to adoration. They went to daily mass. They served the Lord. They had big families. They were beautiful people. But they struggled with this. This is a really heavy thing. And I have to tell you, Father, I'm a little sad sometimes that we don't do enough of it in the church, because we know we're very quick to give out these examination of conscience forms, which have every little detail of any little thing you could do wrong that could be a mortal sin. Okay, so we give all this information to people, but then we're not really helping people, you know, if they do struggle with it, or if they start to fall into it, which could easily be done if you have a sensitivity towards, you know, sin and not wanting to commit sin. And you have that sensitive nature about yourself that you don't want to go there. You want to recognize when something is a sin or it's not a sin. So I don't see us doing too much in that formation area. Do you, Father?
It kind of bums
me out a little bit.
Yeah. Like I said, there's not much formation of conscience past the first confession when they're children. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be some kind of adult formation, and that it should be addressed. Like, how do you know a sin is mortal or venial? And that strict kind of reckoning can be very helpful with people who have very sensitive reckoning, where you can say, is this grave matter? Did I deliberately consent? And this is usually what I walk through if I'm in confession and ask these questions, the three conditions for mortal sin. And there's so many people that they say, well, this is what happened. It's like, well, you didn't have any control over being sick. You were in bed. Your body told you, I'm taking the decision away from you. There's no decision. Like, well, I have to confess because I missed Mass. It's like, well, you were in the hospital. You couldn't possibly make it to Mass. And almost nobody believes me when I say, you know, particularly about that, if they miss Mass and when they're sick and they're ill, because I work with a lot of elderly. Mm-hmm. And I say, I understand you have sensitive conscience, and that's wonderful. But a sin has to be a decision that you are deliberately making. It is not, and if it's venial, it means that you're not either not making that decision, or it's something that you are consenting to, but you are aware of it. Mm-hmm. Because the will has active and passive. It has a subconscious and conscious. And just because it happened in your will doesn't mean that you decided it. Right. And this is really important, because people need to understand through formation to distinguish the parts of their will of just, it's kind of like that heresy of, what was the heresy of St. Dominic, Albigensianism, where you can mistake concupiscence for sin.
For sin.
And yeah, the fomus peccatum, the residue of sin, is itself already a sin. You're like, hold on. You know, just because you have a sinful inclination doesn't mean you are deciding to do something evil, or you're acquiescing to it even.
Right, right. Well, when you're talking about the three conditions to mortal sin, you're talking about that a person has to realize it's a very serious grave matter. Okay, very serious. Then they have to have the full The knowledge. Full knowledge of it, the full knowledge of it. And then they have to still go through with it, right? So you have to
Consent to it.
Right, yeah. Deliberately consent to it. So you're going through these three steps. But here's the problem, Father, and I'm not trying to really just focus in on this, but it's only because I just saw three of them recently, where you were talking about the Ten Commandments. Okay, well, these examination of conscience forms that are out there online through Catholic organizations, they break down the Ten Commandments. Well, I was reading one of them the other day, and then I thought, well, maybe that's just a mistake. Maybe I didn't see it that way. So I went to this other site, and the same thing. And then I went to a third one, and I'm like, oh my goodness, for a person that has any type of any scruples or anything like that, boy, they're going to walk right into scrupulosity. I mean, Father, when they unpacked the commandments, they were going down in such, you know, detail of if you do this, then it's a mortal sin. If you do that, I mean, and you're talking, it was like, as I was reading it, Father, I literally, and I think I'm well formed in the faith. I was reading it going, oh boy, everything's a sin. I mean, it was, yes. I almost wanted to go into like my home, you know, somewhere quiet in the closet somewhere and never move again. Never talk to anybody. Never. Because it was like they were talking about that, you know, shall not kill. Well, if you talk even the slightest bit against your coworker, that's a mortal sin. I'm like, really? I mean, nobody would talk to each other, Father. I mean, it's like it's almost to the point where I think sometimes when we go so detailed, we are almost walking people into it, not even realizing it. And as you grow in your spiritual life, as you want to get closer to God, you are getting more sensitive to all this. And you are saying, I don't want to hurt God, so I don't want to do this. So yeah, if I'm at the water cooler with my coworker and we say something about Sally down the hallway, oh my goodness, I just committed a mortal sin. I mean, it's really, to me, I think it's a little bit overboard. Now, I could be wrong. Please help me with this. But I think when we go into that kind of detail, you're really making people fearful.
Well, you know, and as we said earlier, like Saint Therese, it's actually a healthy sign that you go through a stage of sensitivity of conscience, even hypersensitivity of conscience. But you have to, through formation, exactly what you're doing, where you take out, you sift between mortal and venial. But I think it's even worse than that. I think people who really have severe scrupulosity, they break a rule that they made for themselves about themselves, like a practice. They'll say, well, I say my novena prayers every night and I missed my novena prayers. I'm like, well, that's not a sin to miss something. You made an agreement with yourself. You didn't even promise God that you were going to do that, but you feel like you didn't do what you meant to. But that's not a mortal sin. And understanding that and having the trust, and that really is what it comes down to. Jesus, I trust in you. Having Amen. The trust of Jesus and saying that, yeah, he loves me, whether or not I said two prayers instead of one,
yep.
Even though it's my own rule that I made, mm-hmm. and I'm breaking my own rule, but that's okay because it's a rule you made for yourself.
Right, right. We need formation on this more, Father.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think we should start classes on it. I really do. I think people need help with it because we want people to have their most confident spiritual life. We don't want them to have this kind of heaviness where they're so worried. And then they start, to be really honest, Father, they start to act a little strange. And like you said, they start to act bizarre with their friends and their relatives. And the people are like, what is the matter with you? Because they can't, they're not themselves. They're not authentically being themselves, and they're trying to be, they don't want to hurt God. And you can see them. I mean, I knew so many of them, and some were in my family, that my heart would break for them. They were under so much pain, mental pain over this. But, you know, Father, let's talk a little bit more in the final few minutes we have on this special Thanksgiving broadcast. And folks, I know I say this all the time since my name is Debbie. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer on Thanksgiving. So we want to wish you all a wonderful Thanksgiving celebration with family and friends. Please stay in the moment. Enjoy the moment with your family and friends. We never know when God's going to call us home. So this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it and show that gratitude during this beautiful Thanksgiving. And I wanted to also say, don't forget, The Doctor is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi, and that's coming up next. Anything you wanted to share with our wonderful Take Two family about Thanksgiving, Father?
Oh, just, you know, if, especially if you're scrupulous, take some time and enjoy the turkey, enjoy your company, be grateful. And gratitude is so healthy. It grounds us in reality, gets us out of ourselves, and helps us to be open to future graces that God has given us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that. Father Sam, let me ask you this question. You were talking about Jesus, I trust in you. Now, I mean, I have a little bit of that OCD tendency. I do say Jesus, I trust in you about 1,000 times a day, and I'm very proud of it. I love it because it keeps me going. And I do agree that if you build more trust in Jesus, it lessens the scrupulosity and it can you can manage it better. And I really think that is helpful to build that trust in God. But what would you say to the person that they want to receive worthily? They don't want to heap condemnation on themselves. They don't want that. They don't want to be in that state with God. And yet they've done everything right. They've gone to confession, you know, venial sins are washed away at the Mass with the Confiteor and the other prayers. Now, Father, but they still, as they're walking up that aisle, they're thinking to themselves, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. What would you say to those people?
Amen. Of course you're not worthy. I mean, the thing is, there's a certain level of unworthiness that's okay. That's like normal for you to experience. But the feeling of being unworthy is not a sin. It's just saying, I'm standing next to the incarnate light that sees all and sees through my heart and soul. But remembering that Jesus loves you is not being lax about your conscience. It's simply saying this act of communion is more about Jesus and his dispositions than it is about mine. Because the sacrament is from the work worked. It's not so much about my dispositions. My disposition should ultimately be, I am so grateful to be here. Jesus still eats with sinners. And I'm numbered among one of them who's won the lottery. And so I should be very grateful and not be stuck, especially if you've gone to confession. That's when you have to just say whatever, you know, like to say whatever to the devil. You're going up to the confession, and there is the bully kind of like hovering around you saying, oh, you're gonna have a bad thought or you're a bad person. That's where you just have to say, excuse me, you know, just walk past that loud person in church and say, I'm on the way to Jesus, and treat it like that. And it's just a distraction, it's just a temptation. I'm gonna let this go. I'm not gonna hold on to it.
We love St. Therese here on Take Two. So how long did she struggle with scrupulosity? Did she manage it? Or
Yes.
Yes, she did.
Mm-hmm. It was. And so actually, it was when she was ages 6 to 9. She was very, very sensitive. And there was a moment where, you know, they put their shoes out for St. Nicholas Day, and St. Nicholas didn't come. And she got really upset. And she had a conversation with God, and it was like all this, she had all this fuss and all this problem about the way that she felt about something that wasn't even related to God or sin or anything. And she had this moment where Jesus gave her the grace to let go. And that's really what it is. It's just to let go of that. And after that, she was still struggling with scrupulosity in her conscience. And her confessor said, I do not believe that this sister has ever committed a mortal sin, you know, in her life, which is pretty amazing. And I've encountered people that I wondered the same thing. They were so pure of conscience. Mm-hmm. They were living such a beautiful, pure life. And they did struggle with having a sensitive conscience, but it served them. In their union with God. Right. If it doesn't, it shouldn't cripple you. Mm-hmm. It can serve you to say, I just want to be pure of heart. I just want to love Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I want to give all of my struggles and my scruples totally over to him. And of course, I'm going to feel unworthy. Of course, my prayers aren't perfect. Of course, my thoughts aren't the most perfect, but Jesus is patient with me and I'm a work under construction.
Beautiful. I can see why the Take Two family loves you, Father Sam. So we'll have Father Sam Medley back again on Take Two. He seems to like it, and we like him showing up and sharing with us and in just this really solid catechesis that he offers all of us on the radio. So Father Sam, you're awesome. I'm going to ask you real quickly to give all the Take Two family a blessing on this beautiful Thanksgiving. And also, if you'd like to join us, Father Sam and I are going on a Seine River cruise in April. It is so amazing. I'm telling you, it's going to be life-changing. You got to sign up quickly, though. Maybe you could talk to your friends and family members today at Thanksgiving celebration and see if you can sign up. We'd love for you to join us. We want to take over the whole ship, and you can learn all about it at grnonline.com/events. You hear the music, Father. Could you give us a quick Thanksgiving blessing?
Through the intercession of Our Lady, may Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And have a beautiful Thanksgiving.
Aw, thank you so much, Father Sam. Thanks for visiting us. We hope to chat with you again. You were just wonderful today on this Scrupulosity episode. Folks, please send it to somebody who really needs to hear this. And we do wish you a happy Thanksgiving. And we'll see you tomorrow. Have a beautiful and blessed day.